But the big news, of course, those Texas Rangers, as they try to figure out here, just, gosh, man, almost exactly 48 hours, what is it, 50 hours now away from that Major League Baseball trading deadline. What are they going to do? Who might they be moving? And we welcome in former Ranger great, the awesomeness of David Murphy joining us here now. How are you, man?
What's up, guys?
Just trying to figure out this Rangers, all this trade stuff. It seems like in the last couple of days, the idea of them moving Yu Darvish has gone from something that was being bantered around to it really looks like this is going to happen. What are your thoughts on how they handle the situation?
This is, it's a really tough situation because, you know, when they added that extra wild card spot a few years back, the plus side of it has been that it's given more teams more hope later into the season to lock down a playoff spot. And it's fun because it seems like, you know, before that playoff spot was added, that, you know, 2-3 weeks before the season ended, almost all the playoff matchups would be almost, you know, already solidified for the postseason. But now that we have that extra spot, it goes down to the wire every year. And even though the Rangers are a few games below 500 approaching the trade deadline, they could still be in it. So on one hand, you know, it gives you the hope. But on the other hand, is it false hope? Because, you know, the Rangers have made deals over the last few years to kind of deplete their farm system a little bit. And those are understandable because they were in a good spot. They won some divisions. They got Cole Hamels, they got Lucroy and Jeffress. You know, they've gotten some names, but they've come at a cost. And so now, you know, you're at the point where do you want to, if you trade Darvish, do you want to send that signal in the clubhouse that, all right, we're kind of waving the white flag here? So it's a really tough spot for the front office to be in, and I definitely would not want to be John Daniels right now. But I think the bottom line is they really have to do what's best for the team. And I don't know what type of prospects are being dangled out there. And it can't be a whole lot because, you know, Yu Darvish is going to be a rental at the end of the day. He's going to be a 2-month rental because he's going to be a free agent. So, you know, who knows? And it's, I don't know if I can give you an opinion either way.
Now, you were part of a trade. You are a part of a three-piece deal that came back to the Rangers in exchange for Eric Gagne. Can you run through kind of the discussion that goes on with the organization? Do they let you know that you are part of trade talks? Do they kind of spring it on you? Did it affect how you were playing? Because I know that that was just what your second year of breaking into the league, I believe.
No, it was definitely on my mind because, you know, being a member of the Boston Red Sox, you know, through those years where they were winning a lot, I knew that, and especially baseball, you know, it's become a younger sport lately, but, you know, back when I was coming up about 10 years ago, you know, teams had a lot more veterans, especially teams like the Red Sox and the Yankees, and so I knew that it was going to be tough for me to break into that outfield with the type of salaries that those guys had and with the type of numbers that they were putting up. So I knew that my best scenario to be a major league regular was going to be with another organization. So, you know, the night before I got traded, I knew that, or I was hoping that it was a possibility that I was going to get traded to Texas because I knew that Boston needed bullpen help. And I knew that Texas was going to be sellers and, you know, that they were probably going to trade Gagne. So, you know, I had actually thought about that the night before it happened, but nobody told me that there was a possibility that it might happen. And I actually found out I was, Brandon Moss was on my team. He's playing for the Royals now. And, he was my roommate. We were just kind of sitting in the hotel room. We had ESPN on and, there was kind of a trade deadline special and Peter Gammons was reporting and he was talking about the Red Sox possibly getting Gagne. And he threw my name out there, and I was kind of like, I was almost on the verge of taking a little bit of a nap before I went to the ballpark that day in Columbus, Ohio, and I shot up immediately. So I went to the ballpark, and soon after, I was told when I went to the ballpark to not dress out, to not go to the cage or do anything as much as I wanted to, and they couldn't tell me anything further, but They were like, I'm sure you know what might be going on. And then I found out probably an hour later that, in fact, I had been traded. So usually, you know, the player and the agent are the last people to know because the front office and whoever is doing the deal try to keep it under wraps for as long as possible.
Man, what a surreal experience.
Crazy.
So knowing that and seeing the numbers about how much Yu Darvish has struggled of late, do you think the trade deadline is getting to him a bit here and that could be a factor in why he's struggled so much lately, particularly giving up 10 earned to the Miami Marlins the other day?
It really could be because I did get traded in 07 like we just talked about, but I'll rewind it back a year before that. You know, I had the same mindset in 06. I knew that, you know, I knew where the Red Sox stood. I thought to myself, I'm really going to be better off in another organization trying your leagues. And so probably July 20th through July 31st, I just felt a weight, and I felt like I really struggled. So I'm not saying I'm not inside Yu Darvish's mind. I can't speak for him, but I will say that definitely could be a factor. You know, when you're a player, you play the best with a clear mind. And I think it's safe to assume that Yu Darvish's mind was not clear, the other night when he was on the mound, but you know, it's obviously an assumption.
Talking to David Murphy here on ESPN Radio 103.3 FM. Kind of curious, when something like this happens, the mood in the room, as far as, like you mentioned, I mean, the idea now with that second wild card that you can win mid-80s and get that second wild card. We've seen teams do that, the Royals recently, that have won the World Series. What kind of effect can this have on the room if they move Darvish, where they kind of are telling everybody, hey, you guys just don't give us enough this year to really compete for a championship?
I mean, I can give you a few personal experiences. I remember in 2009, we had a pretty good year, and we were good, but we weren't great. We needed another year, obviously, to solidify our team to get to the World Series, which we didn't know at the time. But I remember a big name that was out there was Roy Halladay. And we were like, man, that would be – there was talk in the clubhouse about how awesome that would be if we could trade for Roy Halladay to solidify our starting pitching and to get to the postseason. And that was kind of we were still in the midst of the ownership situation where, you know, we didn't really have money to spend. And so I think that was going to be a hindrance and us not getting him. And I don't think we really ended up doing anything at the deadline. We did end up getting Pudge at the waiver deadline a month later in August. But, we didn't end up doing anything, and it was a little bit frustrating, but the year ended out. And then you understand a year later getting to the World Series how hanging on to all of our prospects and you know, everything that we did was necessary. And then on the flip side of it, on the good side, when we did get Cliff Lee in 2010, I remember just the excitement. You know, you get to July 31st, and everybody's tired. Everybody's got something hurting. And it was kind of the exact shot that we needed, because I remember everybody was playing with that shot of adrenaline that night, almost like it was opening day. So, but I remember, you know, speaking of the Red Sox, I mean, you go back to the trade when they traded Nomar Garciaparra away, who was such a big part of their team for so long and the face of the franchise, and they trade him away in 2004, and they end up winning the World Series. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like it can't happen, but it definitely is a statement when such a big part of your team, when you trade them away, I think the players, you know, see what the front office is doing.
You mentioned, of course, Pudge coming over, and it was just briefly there at the end of 09, and he didn't get a lot of action, of course, at the end of his career older on. But he's going to go into the Hall of Fame tomorrow, as you know, as a Texas Ranger. And I'd imagine you probably cross paths a little bit in your broadcasting work that you're doing now. Just what are your thoughts on Pudge and his impact, not just to the team and the franchise, but the community as well?
I mean, he is, man, what an incredible player. What an incredible career that he had. I'm so happy for him. I'm happy for the Texas Rangers franchise. I'm honored to, you know, have played with them for that short period of time. That I did in 2009. I'm honored that I got to wear his number 7 for most of my career, most of my time in Texas. And, you know, just as you mentioned, I've done a little bit of work with him on the analyst side this year, working pre and post game with him for a few games. And the thing that stood out most in doing it is when you played the game for as long as he did, you can become numb to it a little bit. And there's just the way that working alongside of him and sitting alongside of him and doing the pre and post game show, there was just an excitement about him. The way that he analyzes the game of baseball, and it just it proves that he truly loves it. And there's just something about a player like a Pudge and a player like a Beltre that, regardless of how long they play, they're just simply excited to put on the uniform, to step on the baseball field, to talk about the game. Baseball really lights them up and excites them, and that's part of why they're such good players and why they're Hall of Famers.
Last question here for the great David Murphy. So you were part of the Red Sox organization where they had some pretty heavy hitters in that on that team, like Manny Ramirez, Curt Schilling was part of that team your first year, I believe. And then you finished up your career with the Angels for a short stint, to where you got a chance to play with guys like Albert Pujols, Mike Trout. Who were maybe one or two of the guys that you played with in addition to Beltre, where you were just like, oh my God, these guys are just unbelievable. You couldn't believe how good they were.
Well, you know, Pujols, you know, you've seen him do it on and off throughout the years. I mean, when I played with him, he was toward the end of his career and wasn't the hitter that he was with St. Louis, but just to be able to share a clubhouse with him was phenomenal. I mean, obviously Mike Trout is today is head and shoulders above the rest. You know, his offensive abilities are off the charts, but the thing that stood out most was he robbed a home run and got, you know, probably 4 feet above the wall in late September of 2015. And I still remember it because, you know, if you play the game a long time, you see a lot of balls hit over the fence. You see a lot of outfielders go after those balls. And a lot of times an outfielder will have the tendency to just jump a little bit early for that ball, and the ball will get over the fence when maybe they could have caught it. Well, Mike Trout goes up for this ball that I can see the flight of the ball, and I see him jump a little bit early like I see a lot of other guys do. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, man, he jumped too early. But the thing that made him stand out above the rest is that he just kept going up and up and up. And Jesus Montero of the Mariners hit the ball, if you want to look up the highlight, and I'm sure y'all have seen it, but I was standing in left field, and I started almost just involuntarily, my body, I started falling, because I could not believe that he caught the ball. So Mike Trout's a special player, and I just, you know, throughout my years, the Beltre, Pujols, Trout, Manny, Ortiz, you know, through the Rangers years, seeing Hamilton's good days, and Beltre and Vladimir Guerrero, Michael Young. There's, I've had a, you know, I've been fortunate to play the game as long as I was able to, but I feel like I played with so many quality players throughout the course of my career that I'm going to have some great stories to tell my kids and my grandkids someday.
Well, David, we appreciate it as always, man. Thanks so much for the time here this weekend.
Yeah, no problem, guys. I enjoyed it.